Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today. And as always, it's a pleasure to have you with me. And I look forward to sharing with you a fantastic conversation because, as you know, this show is about empowering you with truthful information so you can make those truly, truly informed decisions regarding your health and well-being. So today will be another journey, another wonderful conversation into the world of hormones, which I know is of great interest to just about everybody because we all have our hormones. I want to also welcome people who are tuning in for the first time. Please, please, please visit my website, which is whatwomenmustknow.com, or go to my Facebook page, which is also whatwomenmustknow.com, because you will be sent my ongoing podcast shows, so you won't have to miss any of them. And I also give you some special reports when you opt in, and my Facebook page is a great place for ongoing educational information that I share. So it's all about getting truthful information so you can make those decisions. I also have an announcement, so I'd like to take a moment to share this announcement. Many of you who have been listening for a while know that I have been visiting and taking a group of people, and I've had lots of interviews with some very special people from a unique place in Costa Rica called Rhythmia Life Advancement Center. I have, I've taken two groups to Rhythmia, so last February and this past February, and I've also been a guest there lecturing and doing my rejuvenation workshop as part of their overall program. So this is a unique place. It's called Rhythmia Life Advancement Center because it truly does advance your life. And it is also the first and only medically licensed plant medicine center in the world. So the other thing that occurs in Rhythmia, aside from being a spa environment with healing and organic food and massages and colonics and mud baths, is the opportunity to work with shaman doing plant medicine. That truly, truly, truly is an opportunity to heal the deepest level, heal physical wounds, heal emotional wounds, and open you up to your true soul and spiritual self. So, having said that, I just want everyone to know that, first of all, I will be returning August 26th to Rhythmia to be the guest facilitator for 1 week doing my new program called the Radical Rejuvenation Reset Program. And that's the week of August 26th. If you are called to come, you'll get everything that goes on at Rhythmia plus me. And the other thing that's happening is that I will be returning as an organizer of a tour. I'm not presenting at this time, but in February 10th, I will be organizing another trip to Rhythmia for people who want to come. Last year I had 25 people join me for an amazing week. And if you are interested, this is another opportunity. So it's August 10th if you want to come and participate in the program, plus my Rejuvenation Reset Program, my Radical Rejuvenation Reset Program. And February 10th, 2019 is when I will be organizing a group to experience the week. So two wonderful opportunities. And the other thing I just want to add, if you decide to join the group in February, I have arranged a phenomenal, phenomenal discount for the week. So to learn more, please go to rhythmia.com/Selman, or you can call this number, 844-346-8069. That's 844-346-8069. Or check it out at rhythmia.com/Selman to learn everything that goes on at this extraordinary, extraordinary place. If you've been listening to my interviews about maybe 3 weeks ago now, I interviewed Jerry Powell, who is the founder and inspiration behind Rhythmia, and his story is just incredible, how his life has changed and the purpose of the center. So anyway, go check it out, because if you're looking for a vacation, if you're looking to heal, if you're looking for a foreign adventure, or if you're looking for an opportunity for spiritual transformation, all the above is to be found at Rhythmia Life Advancement Center. So that's my special announcement. And this brings us to my wonderful guest today. So we're going to be talking to an amazing woman. Her name is Magdalena Scherlacki. And Magdalena wrote a book that actually is really impressive. It's called Cooking for Hormone Balance. And I wanted to share a little bit about Magdalena before we jump into this really important conversation. Magdalena is a certified holistic health coach accredited by the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. She received her education from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York City. And before becoming a health coach, she had a long, fast-paced career as a strategic planner for the advertising powerhouse called WPP in both Asia and the U.S. She's also a regular Vipassana meditation practitioner and a level 2 Reiki healer. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Magdalena to the show. Hello, Magdalena.
Hi there, Cheryl. Thank you. And that retreat sounds amazing.
it actually is amazing. I mean, it's the only place I've ever returned to. It'll be my fourth time. I can't tell you how it's changed my life. So
wow.
I'm excited to be able to bring people back.
I was just looking at my calendar to see what I'm doing.
Oh, come along. Oh, my God. Yes, it would be fantastic. Fantastic. So we can talk more about that off air. But you know, I love your book, and I do want to congratulate you, Magdalena. You know, your book is absolutely beautiful. It's a hardcover book. It has, it's a proven practical program with over 125 easy, delicious recipes to boost energy and mood, lower inflammation, gain strength, and restore healthy weight. And it's a huge book. It has over almost 370 pages, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, you can hurt somebody if you throw that book at someone.
Yes, it could be a weapon. I can see that, you know. I have to say, it has such great information. You've done such a great job. It's power-packed with knowledge, information, recipes, strategies, techniques. I mean, I marvel. I mean, I've written, you know, 5 books now, and I know what it takes to write a book. And this is a tome. This is like a keeper. You never want to give this book away, right? This is like, you know, your Bible, one of the Bibles. So you've done a great job. But it's also the content that's great, not just the great photos and the great recipes. It's the content. So we're going to talk all about hormones on this show. And men, you can be listening too, because you have hormones as well, and you need to hear this information, because hormone balance is really common for men as well as it is for women. So before we jump into things, Magdalena, I know that you, from reading a little bit about your background, that you had some health challenges or some hormonal issues that got you interested in this subject. So can you share a little bit about that journey that you have been on?
Yeah, sure. You know, and I think like a lot of practitioners, it gets us there. We do what we do today is because of our history, right? And oftentimes the more complicated, complex it is, the better we become at this because we want to help ourselves and got to learn all of that stuff. You know, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's in 2008, and that was pretty much the pivotal moment when I realized something needs to change in my life. To address the autoimmunity and asking the question, why is my own body attacking the thyroid? Why am I feeling that way, even though supposedly I'm a healthy person? But when I look back at it, really, you know, it started when I was much younger, right? Being, you know, never being a breastfed baby, getting in a hospital in the first month already with pneumonia and being pumped antibiotics. Consequently, after that, suffering from constant eczema and ear infections, sinus infections, you know, and given more antibiotics, right? And then going into my teenage and young adulthood with constant PMSs, migraines, cystic acne. I mean, Cheryl, my acne was so bad that I never owned a open back top, right? Because you can't cover your pimples on your skin so easily. I mean, they look like little volcanoes, right? So, you know, there was clear signs of inflammation, a lot of food sensitivities. Every time I had a latte, I would look like a 4-month pregnant woman, right? And, you know, and so it's just I wasn't really connecting the dots at that point. A simple search pointed in the direction of food. I remember finding this article that said that why is it that kids in Papua New Guinea have no zits? And I thought, wow, that's fascinating. And I took out gluten and, you know, and it helped me somewhat, but I didn't really stick with that. And I think having the full-on career, you know, when I was living in Shanghai, that's when I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, living in China in a very toxic job, toxic environment. I think what was really fueling my soul was the sense of accomplishment and validation I was getting from the industry of how good I was as a strategic planner, working on Fortune 100 brands. So, you know, those are all the iconic brands that it's a real honor to work on those. But it's also very difficult clients. And, you know, I was in a regional job, so I was living on planes, eating food at hotels and aeroplane food, basically, you know. So, I mean, we all know how that goes. And so, yeah, it's just in 2008, you know, I decided that that's, I didn't know what I had and what it really meant intuitively. I'm so glad that I listened to that little voice that told me something has to change and you got to stop. And I've resigned from my job and moved to the United States, started working in, you know, went to nutrition school and set up my business soon after that. And that was really the starting point. You know, fast forward today, when looking at it now and my symptoms, apart from Hashimoto's, I was diagnosed with Graves in my late 20s. So, you know, I had like this accumulation of autoimmune diseases going on, but also clear signs of estrogen dominance, like horrible PMSs, always a lot of swelling around my limbs. I had lumps on my boobs, right? Very scary stuff. Thyroid nodules, which, you know, your doctor tells you, like, just observe and come back in 6 months' time. And I'm thinking, observe what and wait for what until you tell me that I've got cancer next? You know, but today as a 45-year-old woman, having done all the changes that I tried documenting in the book as much as I could, at least on a dietary side of things, I'm in complete remission from Graves and Hashimoto's with no symptoms. Estrogen dominance is like, I forget that I even had it. And, you know, my adrenal issues, which were a companion in the past, is pretty much a thing of the past as well, except that, you know, like now I'm still in a book launch mode, which, you know, when you go on a big road tour, it's exhausting. And so I can feel my adrenals are taking a beating, but I know exactly what I need to do to, you know, to nurture them back into good health. So point being, 45 years old, and, you know, as a 45-year-old woman today, I feel better than when I was 25.
And that's the journey of awakening to your body, to understanding your hormones, to putting all the pieces together. I can really relate to that story as well. And I think that's part of what your mission is, and certainly has been my mission for a long time. We need to understand when we're dealing with these challenges, it's that that great awakening. You know, it's the wounded healer where we discover that, you know, we've really been suffering. You had a really challenging time before you started to take responsibility for your health. That must have been tough with all these conditions, all these diagnoses, and often feeling lost in the wilderness, right? Because you just, you know, you can't digest and your skin's breaking out and your thyroid is out of balance and your, you know, I mean, list goes on and on. So it's such a testimony to know that when people are willing to start taking responsibility for their health and understanding their body is giving them a message that something needs attention, and then begin the journey, you can reverse and heal anything, truly anything.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, and that's what you've done. So I think it's always important to talk about hormones, and I think your story really segues into understanding about what's driving hormonal balance. When we say getting your hormones back in balance, what is that? What does that mean? What is causing hormones to go out of balance in the first place? So you need to know that before you can get them back into balance. So let's explore a little bit. What is it that drives hormones or the endocrine system to get so out of balance and cause so many problems, everything from PMS to hot flashes, night sweats, to endometriosis, ovarian cysts, infertility, you name it. And for men, by the way, it's things like prostate cancer or low testosterone from adrenal exhaustion. Let's kind of lay that foundation, because without that, we often miss a step. You know, people go right to hormone supplementation, they go to bioidentical hormones, but they don't understand that's not the solution. It's like a Band-Aid effect.
Totally. So you and I talked about that, you know, before we started, and as you said, and I totally agree with that, is that hormones are just imbalanced hormones are the result of something bigger that's going on, right? And I completely agree with that. And, you know, and it's here's the thing. A lot of times we look for that one thing. I don't know whether, Cheryl, you see this in a lot in your community as well, but is that question a lot of times we ask, and I'm to be blamed for that as well, is like oftentimes I'll be like, what's the one thing that's causing, you know, my fatigue today? Or what's the one thing that has caused suddenly that I put on 5 pounds in the past month, right? You know, that kind of thing. And often, you know, with hormones, it's just never one thing. And I might be a little bit biased as a, you know, somebody who works with nutrition, but I see that a lot when we mess up our digestion, when our blood sugar levels are hugely imbalanced. So, you know, feeling like a lot of people are in total denial about it without realizing that if you're feeling like you're crashing when you're hungry and you need something to so-called pick you up and you're feeling jittery, unfocused, and got a headache when you're hungry, those are signs of hypoglycemia. That's a sign your blood sugar level is out and that's going to pull down the hormones. And lastly, the liver, you know, it's so important. I mean, that we obviously, as we age, the liver needs some serious TLC, more so later in life than when we are younger. And, you know, and again, the liver plays such a huge role in detoxifying us from hormones. So I think on the nutritional level, that's one piece of it. But, you know, when I look at my own life and I look at all the women I've worked with in the past, it's a combination of history of birth control pills, right? Is the history of stress. Is the, you know, for some women is the genetics as well, right? Like, for example, I have genetics I obviously got from my parents that make me a perfect candidate for breast cancer. And, you know, and for those of you who are interested, you're looking at the COMT gene. I have double mutations on MTHFR. I've got double mutations on the CBS gene, which basically means that I don't process sulfur very well from, you know, from supplements or from food. And sulfur is so important in detoxifying us from hormones, right? So there's this genetic component to it, but then you can really turn your genes on and off with a good lifestyle and a good diet. So, you know, I remember, you know, Cheryl, I remember when I went to see my functional doc, and this was about 2 years ago, and she looked at all my lab work, and she asked me, have you ever had breast cancer? I was like, wow, that's a big question. And she says, you know, just looking at your genetics, you're just the perfect candidate. Like all my patients who walk here to this clinic would have had breast cancer by now. And I think the only reason why I don't is because I took care of it, you know, much earlier, right? So like I said, you can turn that off. I feel like the relationship we have with ourselves and, you know, how much we love ourselves but also the, you know, the community we surround ourselves by. You know, I had the privilege and the opportunity of having lived in 7 different countries, and I traveled to over 40 countries. And, you know, one thing that is pretty clear, including some of them which are in the, you know, in the blue zone, so to speak, where you have the healthiest, happiest people living there. And one of the big things is, you know, we pay so much attention to what kind of food we are putting in our bodies and the supplements and all that, which is important. But what I find also is that the happiest people are also surrounded by incredibly supportive communities and a lot of love and, you know, and support. And so I think all of those things, and, you know, so there isn't one thing that can get us out of sync.
Exactly, especially this day and age, there's so many factors impinging on our health. And to just before we go into some of your suggestions, how to use food and nutrition to support the body to get ourselves back in balance and our hormones certainly back in balance, let's just break down some of what you said, because you had a lot of great information in there, Magdalena, and I just like to just tease it out a bit more. So when we talk about the key issues that, when not addressed or if they are out of balance, will lead to symptoms of some sort of hormonal issue, Let's start with how stress and the impact on the adrenals, which, you know, we're all busy. We just did an interview about busyness and how busyness really interferes with our quality of life, especially as women. I think being busy and stressed has more of an impact on women's hormonal balance than anything else right now. And there are many things that do, but boy, that, you know, going 24/7, let's just say it's impossible to address and restore hormonal balance if you go 24/7. And that's not how women were designed. That's not how women are built. It's not in their makeup. It's not in their physiology. And when we do that, it starts to have ramifications. So let's start by talking about stress in the adrenals. And I know, obviously, you had a direct experience of that one.
Yeah, and I think they're always going to be a little bit tender, you know. I think that's really important to recognize about ourselves. That, let me give you an example. This is, for instance, a true story. You know, when many years ago I was in a car with my colleague, and we saw a horrible accident happen, like, right in front of us, and somebody died. And it was, you know, and it was so traumatized that I went to the office and I took the day off and I couldn't eat for 2 days and I dreamt about it, right? And my colleague was like, well, this is really sad, but, you know, things happen, right? And she just went on about her lay like nothing happened. And it's not to say that she's insensitive or, you know, or she's a bad person. It's just that stress does not get to her as much as probably gets to another person. So I think it's really important to recognize that if you are more prone to stress, then respect that and get as much of it out of your life as possible, right? Whether it's toxic people, toxic situations, toxic environment, toxic food. So, you know, so speaking of adrenals, I mean, stress obviously calls for an adrenal release, right? And so I think most people know what adrenal fatigue is. It's like when you're constantly stressed out, adrenals are not coping. But here's an interesting thing that happens in the body that we don't really, you know, explain very well. Why is that not a healthy response? And a couple of things that come to mind straight away. First of all, cortisol is a highly inflammatory hormone, right? And when you're constantly inflamed, I think most people have a concept by now of, you know, being inflamed, for example, from taking prescription drugs, especially a lot of them, or eating hugely inflammatory foods, like you are living on coffee and sugar and gluten, right? All of those things are going to inflame you. Now, cortisol, on the other hand, is highly inflammatory as well. This is the reason why women who are constantly stressed out are also having a really hard time losing weight, is because, you know, like if you know people who are taking steroids, right, because they have, let's say, some autoimmune disease, and they are put on steroids, they can't, I mean, everybody knows that they just get all big and puffy and they just can't lose weight no matter how little they eat or how much they exercise. And the cortisol exactly does that. If you think about it, cortisol is a very potent steroid hormone. So you're literally injecting yourself with steroids all over and over again. So that inhibits weight loss, which is such a big deal for a lot of women. The other thing that happens, which I think is fascinating, is that now we know that this constant inflammation also makes our cell receptors that are typically open to receiving the different hormones much less susceptible to receiving these hormones, which means that if you do a blood test, which is for hormones completely useless, you do a blood work and it shows you, oh, yeah, you've got estrogen, you've got progesterone, everything is looking, you've got thyroid, everything is looking good. Yet you have every single symptom showing you otherwise, right? Then, you know, then inflammation is the answer, is because you might be having that progesterone in the blood, but that progesterone is not able to attach itself to the receptor because the receptor is seriously compromised because of an inflammatory response. Another interesting thing, which is one of my favorite analogies, is, you know, many of us might know couples who try to conceive for a very long time, right? And then they try for 10 years and, you know, everything, right, from, you know, the most natural ways to most invasive ways, and nothing helps them. And then they give up and they say, well, you know, we're just going to adopt. And they adopt a child, and then they fall in love, and there is love and peace in the family. And a year later, the woman gets pregnant. Boom, right? So many people who adopted children would have stories like that. And the reason why that can happen a lot of the time, not of course not for everybody, because different people have different infertility causes, but for those women who have had this constant stress going on in their life, because of stress they couldn't get pregnant, there is this phenomenon, and by the way, this is not just for pregnant women, this is for anyone, is that there is a phenomenon called pregnenolone steal. And the mother hormone called pregnenolone makes hormones such as progesterone and cortisol. And in the body, there's literally a pathway that where the body has to make a decision in that pathway. How much do I give pregnenolone towards progesterone so the woman is going to be, you know, pregnant, can get pregnant, and she can sleep well and look good and be calm and sleep deeply, versus how much do I need to give her to cortisol so that she can get through the day for survival purposes? And obviously, the body is going to channel whatever pregnenolone it has towards cortisol just to help you cope with the constant stress. But the result is that it compromises the amount of progesterone you're getting, right? And this is when we start having anxiety, sleeping problems, infertility issues, right? Weight gain, depression, hot flashes, you know, for menopausal women, right? And the list goes on. So, I mean, those are just like, I'm just touching on some of those, but this is, you know, there's actual physiological different processes that take place. Like, you know, I can go on about thyroid, how the thyroid hormone doesn't get converted. T4 needs to be converted to T3, you know, so that you can have beautiful hair and sharp mind and and be able to lose weight, right? When you're stressed out, the conversion of the T4 to T3 hormone doesn't happen. It gets inhibited. So, Cheryl, we can talk about this forever, but I think that's like a good primer, right, to how stress, and, you know, stress also, I just want to highlight one more thing. A lot of times women think that stress is just when I have financial problems or when my kids piss me off or my husband is not supportive or, you know, that kind of stress. And it's true that that's obviously can feed into it. But stress can also come from other sources. Stress can be physiological when you are, you know, when you are running, when you're like hitting the gym 5 times a week and you're feeling exhausted after, so basically over-exercising, which I see a lot of women do that worsens adrenal deficiency, you know. But also stress can come from our relationship with ourselves. Emotional stress, as in like, you know, how much we have these negative, horrible conversations with us and shame and guilt. You know, lack of self-love, right, could be also a source of stress. And, of course, chemical stress, if you have a history of having, you know, living in a very polluted place, that all of that adds up to stress.
So that's, you know, such a big piece. The impact of stress on our body creates lots of problems, but it's the adrenals, as you were saying, is so pivotal, because when we start stressing our adrenals and we don't know how to nourish those adrenals, how to balance ourselves, how to find time out to recover, then adrenals push everything out of balance. All the hormones go out of balance. We have more inflammation. We have more insulin resistance. We're putting on belly fat. We lose our memory. You know, the hormones become more, you know, as you were saying, more progesterone deficient, estrogen dominant. So stress is huge, and I think that's such an important piece of anyone who is looking to regain hormonal balance, whatever the type of hormonal issue that you may have. You have to really address your stress levels. You can, I tell this to women, they cannot heal until they put into place a way to get that balance back into their lives. They have some quiet downtime.
That's so absolutely true. And you know, one more thing just to add to this is that I think adrenals are, in my view, adrenal deficiency is one of the hardest things to fix, because it is so multifaceted in terms of, you know, there isn't like 3 foods that you can add in. Sure, I mean, you know, I talk about in the book, there are certain foods you can add in to really support the adrenals, right, because they love magnesium, they love vitamin C and all that. But, you know, and there are certain supplements that can also aid specific herbs. All of that is good and fine. But then if you are, you know, if you're having constantly, you know, that stress we talked about coming from all these other sources, right, or sleep is another obviously big thing I forgot to mention. You know, we are sleep deprived in America, and, you know, it's because we're all working and so much, and our vacations are so short, and we laugh about the Europeans taking, you know, month off, and well, that's a good reason to that. And so, yeah, so it's I think that's part of the biggest pushback I always get is that, you know, and the success rate of can be so impaired because of taking having to do quite a number of things to cut out stress. But it's not impossible. It's just it is the toughest in my opinion, the toughest imbalance to correct.
It is, and the other, I mean, the message is, it's like unless women get a grip on their life, they will never be able to truly heal. And it requires a holistic approach. I mean, the story is big. You know, we drive ourselves, we get caught up in cravings, and it's not, you know, we're unraveling a major dysfunction, which, by the way, is why I organize these trips to Costa Rica, because in this beautiful, serene, blue zone part of the world, you're nurturing yourself, you're eating well, you're getting massage, you're doing colonics, and you're diving deep into the drivers that cause us to dishonor our needs and ourselves. And that's what the healing rituals and ceremonies that we do with shaman assist. So it's, you know, we're just going to take one piece of the puzzle. There are many pieces of the puzzle to regain hormonal balance, but working with nutrition is a big piece of this puzzle. So let's jump into that, Magdalena. Let's talk about, you have different diet recommendations in your book, different programs. How do you navigate to find the one that's going to support you with your hormonal challenges?
Yeah. So, you know, Cheryl, the first thing is that I based the book on a story of a three-legged stool. And the three-legged stool represents the three bodily systems that really govern good hormonal balance, right? So if you think about it, like if you want to sit on a three-legged stool, all the three legs need to be firmly in place, right? Because otherwise we wobble or we fall. And in the context of hormones, it's basically it's your healthy digestion, is your liver and how well it can detoxify you. And number three is the sugar balance. You mentioned insulin resistance, also like hypoglycemia, hyperglycemia, of course, prediabetes, all that. So, you know, so that's really your foundation. And the good news is that we can control all three of those and rebalance all three of them with good nutrition, right? I always start off with, I recommend the starting point to be fixing your digestion first. And the simplest thing to do is to embark on the elimination diet. Everybody has a little different way of doing the elimination diet. You know, mine is I remove seven, I call it the big seven foods, and so that will be gluten, dairy, eggs, soy, corn, nightshade vegetables, and peanuts. And also assuming that the diet is also significantly low in sugar, that's like, to me, that's a given, because we don't want to remove sugar 100%. I don't think that's needed. We'll just have to, you know, be conscious of how much sugar we're consuming. So those are the big seven foods. That what I do see, Cheryl, is that so many people today, so many women have such complex digestive problems, something that I didn't see, you know, when I first started my practice 10 years ago. We're beginning to see a lot of issues with FODMAPs, with, you know, so people, for example, having SIBO infections, so all sorts of gut infections, or people with histamine issues, you know, eating all these healthy fermented foods, and instead of feeling wonderful and replenishing their microbiome, instead they're getting anxiety attacks and, you know, and hives and redness all over their face and headaches right after consuming it, right? So there's all these different, you know, then there's so many women with candida, for example, right? The elimination diet might not be sufficient for that. So what I do is, in order to make it simple for the readers, everybody should just start off with the elimination diet. And then you keep a journal. And in the book, I describe what are the things to look for. Just to give you an example, for instance, if you're going through the elimination diet and your sugar cravings aren't going away, you're having vaginal itchiness and you've got white tongue going on, well, maybe that's a sign that, you know, you got to look into candida. Or, you know, every time you have this apple cider vinegar first thing in the morning or bone broth that you're just sipping on, right, which everybody tells you how healthy it is, but then instead of feeling great, you're getting like these major anxiety attacks right after that and you're itching all over. So, you know, so I go into those because then the elimination diet is just not enough. For some people who got more complex conditions, we're going to go deeper. And it's a guidebook, basically, that guides you through the different protocols The idea is to bring the inflammation down, you know, and then when that happens, that's really, that sets the foundation for good hormonal health.
So that's such an important point. To address inflammation is one of the key foundational pieces for restoring not just hormonal health, but actually just about every health issue. I mean, you had two autoimmune conditions. You had your thyroid and you had Graves' disease, and you could throw in eczema, and you can throw in a lot of other conditions that you had actually were just variations on a theme of an autoimmune condition, which is this overactive immune system generating a lot of inflammation. So, you know, reducing inflammation and reducing the foods that generate inflammation is so critical for regaining your health. And regaining your hormone balance means regaining your health. And I think it's really important that, you know, we emphasize that hormones don't exist separate outside of how well your body is functioning. And they are more symptomatic that you have some deeper problems that need to be addressed than thinking hormones exist totally outside of how you're living your life. You know, they're just, it's just happening to me. It's not. It's a symptom that you have these issues, stress, inflammation, insulin resistance, toxic gut, impaired liver. That's what we need to pay attention to. So so tell us, Magdalena, what are some of your favorite hormone balancing foods that you kind of have a general recommendation for?
Yeah. And I'm curious to know what are yours as well. So let's exchange some notes on this because I haven't read your book yet. So, you know, apart from removing the foods, right, I'm a big proponent of bringing foods in as well. So it's the proverbial, you close one door and open up another three, right? And, you know, I would say 80 to 90% of the ingredients used in the book are things that you can find in your regular health store, you know, all the Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and whatnot, nothing weird. And so, you know, I think one of my all-time favorites would be flax seeds. I'm a big fan of, like, doing the seed rotation, for example, that, you know, that helps you rebalance estrogen, progesterone. And flaxseed is a superstar of that. The reason why I love it is because it contains lignans that, when freshly ground, the lignans get released, and it helps to metabolize our estrogens. A lot of women who have estrogen dominance are so afraid of flaxseed because it contains natural occurring estrogens. But, you know, there's no reason to be afraid of that, right? Because in estrogen dominance, the issue is not having too much estrogen. Is that the issue is that you have too many of those bad estrogens and those broken down, the metabolites, the broken down, the waste, so to speak, of the estrogen is what the problem is, not the amount of the total estrogen you have. So flaxseed helps to regulate that. It skews the balance or the breakdown of those good estrogens and bad estrogens towards the good side. And so that's my absolute one of my favorites. And how I like dosing it is like 2 tablespoons a day, freshly ground, adding that, not cooking that, but adding that into smoothies, you know, or salads or soups or whatever. Even like sometimes I just do it in a glass of water if I forget to add it on. So that's one of my absolute favorites. The other ones would be, you know, I'm a big fan of, even though I personally cannot eat too many of them because they contain a lot of sulfur, is a group of vegetables called cruciferous vegetables, right? So the cruciferous would be the brassica family, the cabbage family, which is obviously all the cabbages, but also cauliflower and broccoli sprouts, arugula, which is my personal favorite, right? Bok choy, mustard greens, collard greens, kale, those are all cruciferous. And what's wonderful about them is that just adding 2 to 3 cups a day in, you know, I prefer to cook them in a cooked form, can significantly also help us to detoxify us from estrogen. And they are super supportive for the liver. They contain a substance called DIM, dialdermethane, that is not only a liver detoxifier, but also that cleanses us from those estrogens. So I'm a big, big fan of those. You know, another one that I think from the cruciferous family, I want to pull out one of them, which is quite phenomenal, and I'm just amazed at how much research there is about this sprout yet it is so underused and so few people really know about the power of it. And here I'm talking about broccoli sprouts. So specifically broccoli sprouts, the same properties that I'm going to talk about do not appear in other sprouts like the alfalfa or all the other radishes. It's specifically broccoli sprouts that a research has been done on. They contain a substance called sulforaphane. And sulforaphane is not only, again, a liver detoxifier, but it's a natural estrogen receptor blocker. So much so that, you know, when you hit up PubMed, and, you know, with my book, my editor was a real stickler for research. So all the big claims that I had there, she's like, well, we're going to show some serious research behind this. So all of that is very well researched. And I was amazed when I was doing the research, how many studies there are, in PubMed. PubMed is that library of clinical research and studies, like a depository. How much research there was in sulforaphane helping directly, not only with, you know, stuff like the PMSs, but also with things like breast cancers. You know, solid research that shows shrinkage of breast cancers, which are most breast cancers are estrogen receptor positive, right? That's the majority. I'm not talking about those ones like Angelina Jolie had, or because those are genetic, those are serious other ones, but they are also in a vast minority of cancers. The majority of cancers that women have are estrogen receptor positive or progesterone receptor positive. And you know, just that innocent broccoli sprout, right, just doing a cup of that a day, give you that amount of sulforaphane that has the same efficacy of blocking, so preventing breast cancers and shrinking breast cancers, as does the tamoxifen, which is this nasty estrogen blocker. It's literally called an estrogen blocker. That's the descriptive term for it, which can only be given to women for no more than 5 years. Because why? Because it destroys our liver, right? And on the other hand, here you have these innocent broccoli sprouts that will give you absolutely no side effects and with the same efficacy. I mean, it's just mind-blowing to me, you know?
Well, that's why food is so powerful, and I agree. I think I always recommend having cruciferous vegetables on a daily basis. The broccoli sprouts as food. I use it as a supplement because it is very amazing, its ability to reduce inflammation and oxidative stress and support liver detoxification. So, yes, that's the one favorite thing. I have to say one of my favorite seeds is actually chia, and I wrote a book about chia seeds because they're so amazing. These tiny little seeds are just power-packed with such dense nutrition. And the thing I love about the chia seeds is that they're really high in omega-3s, and they even have protein and lots of vitamins, minerals. But they quickly dissolve. They become kind of mushy. And it makes it very easy for people who have impaired digestion to absorb the nutrition, because when they kind of just get, the seed kind of disappears when you soak it, and it just has this a quality of getting just really soft. And I've talked to people who've had colitis and really impaired ability to absorb and assimilate, so they were actually quite sick because they could not absorb their nutrition. And by taking chia seeds, soaking them, and eating them either as a porridge or a pudding or throwing them in anything, soup, they actually were able to finally recover because they could absorb the nutrition from the seed, which is very mucilaginous, and it was healing the lining of the gut, more so than even flax seeds and the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my favorite seeds that I like to put in everything because it dissolves into nothingness and has no flavor. So you can add it to anything.
Yeah, you can. You know. Yeah, you can just dress it up with whatever you like. And just to share with you, in terms of like, you know, the creative process of doing the book, I don't know if it's creative, but it's both like creative and functional really. I wrote down 20 superfoods, and chia is one of them. The 20 superfoods that I wanted to work with have been directly connected to either fixing, you know, the three-legged stool, so either your digestion, liver, or sugar balance, or directly, specifically have an impact on your hormones, right? And then I wrote down 20 power herbs, spices, and medicinal mushrooms that have similar impact. And that's how all the recipes were developed. So whenever you see a recipe, it's been developed with a big intention of supporting something, someone in some way using these medicinal foods, and it's not just a random, you know, a bunch of ingredients put together. So, and then all the foods obviously are mentioned in the book, and they explained why they are so great.
So, are you a cook? Were you really into? Were you a foodie before you wrote this book?
Oh God, yeah.
I am,
but, you know, every vacation was like, you talk about Costa Rica, you know, I've been twice to Costa Rica on both of them on the culinary vacation, so I always combine it that way because I just love it, and I love the creative process behind it more than anything else. But having said that, I also do not have a lot of patience to be in the kitchen, so I'm not one of those people who cooks three times a day, you know, I'm not. I do a lot of batch cooking, and I love to put things together that you just throw together, and they have interesting flavor combinations that are obviously healing. That's a given, but they, you know, they bring interesting flavor profiles together, but they have to be simple. And so, you know, I'm a very type A personality. I have no patience for nonsense, and, you know, that includes people and friends. And so with food, I'm the same way. So, you know, when you look at the recipes that are really, I mean, there are so many of them that are just below 30 minutes, and that's my, you know, that's the whole method.
So I just want to say, aside from in the book giving a guide to various options as far as what might suit each person, because there's a variety of things, you're not just into one type of eating plan, but your book also has recipes for how to make fermented foods, how to make desserts, how to make healing broths, how to make special teas, how to make amazing smoothies, how to, you know, have main dishes that, as you said, is a combination for those that are eating meat, you know, so you can have the veggies and the spices. I mean, the list goes on and on, how to really design a eating program and protocol that's really nutritious but healing. So, briefly flipping through it, the recipes are so varied. You've done a great job, and just soup to nuts, Magdalena, just soup to nuts. So here's one question I ask you, because I know sugar is a big issue for people, and sugar is a big no-no, and there's no doubt about it that sugar, which is not any sort of food, is a source of so much craving for people. What is your favorite sweetener? What do you recommend for people?
Right. So, yeah, no, I totally agree with you on the sugar. And, you know, I will tell you, Cheryl, when I moved to the United States a decade ago, one of the biggest shockers for me was the amount of sugar that was found in everything and how sweet everything tasted. And I was surprised. And even bigger surprise was the fact that people didn't really think it was sweet, right? So sugar is a big thing. And, you know, and I think the other thing is that a lot of healthy people, you know, who declare themselves healthy, who try to eat healthy, don't realize how much sugar there is in everything. So reduction of sugar is definitely a big deal of rebalancing your blood sugar levels and rebalancing your hormones. You know, I'm not of the opinion that we should completely eliminate it unless you're going through candida. Like you wanna clear out candida, and those are the only time in your life you really wanna deprive yourself of 6 weeks to 8 weeks to clear out that nasty infection, because it's always gonna be undermining everything that we do, right? But otherwise, you know, I love to work with, I personally do not consume more than 20 grams of sugar a day, all in, which means that that's equivalent to, if you want to be more visual about it, that's about 5 teaspoons, you know, and whether it's coming from a sweet potato and I have a Lara bar or, you know, a piece of fruit. Obviously, I don't calculate them on the computer every day because I think that's obsessive. But I have a pretty good understanding of how much sugar there was in things, and so I try to be that way. So, you know, if I'm working with somebody or just for myself who doesn't have a candida issue anymore, then I love to use, you know, one of my favorites is coconut syrup. And the reason why I love it is because it is very low in glycemic index. It's got very little fructose, and fructose is so a lot of people think that, you know, still think that I'm totally blanking out. What was the sweetener, the darling, for the past few years? Agave. There we go. Agave. You know, agave is a healthy sweetener, right? Well, the agave contains a lot of fructose, and fructose needs to be metabolized in the liver. And so you're impairing your liver. You're just taxing your liver tremendously again. with a sweetener like that. So I'm not a fan of at all of agave. And the other thing about coconut sugar is the fact that, so low glycemic index, very little processing, right? And yeah, so that was the third, very little processing, and it's got little fructose. So that's the classification that I use for sweeteners. A close contenders to this, I love to use, you know, I love working with maple syrup, moderate amounts of honey. Honey, you know, is high in fructose, but then again, you know, we should not be consuming 10 teaspoons of honey every day, right? You put just a half a teaspoon to a teaspoon, you know, into a favorite herbal drink, you know, or whatever you like. So when people attack me going like, oh, you know, but you're using honey and honey is high in fructose. Well, I'm like, well, yeah, but you know, it's not, we are not talking about 10, 20 teaspoons here, you know. And if somebody's going through, you know, through a candida cleanse or has got serious issues with sugar, right? You know, for some people, sugar is like crack, heroin for a former addict or alcohol for a former alcoholic. It just, once they even have a little bit of sugar, and I know people, you know, a lot of my former clients were like that, just a little bit of sugar triggers a whole barrage of cravings, and they kind of go back to being a sugar addict, which I also always feel like there's an emotional component to that. You know, because a lot of times, it's a physiological response, right? We get a huge dopamine hit when we eat sugar, and so we feel good. It's a feel-good substance. And what I have found a lot of people in the past, you know, especially coming from, like, abusive families, very restrictive families, found the sugar was the only best friend. And that kind of, you know, feeds on until we are adults. So I think, you know, for anybody who's got a sugar problem, they probably have to resolve a lot of emotional stuff from the past to divorce sugar, not to be such a junkie. But in terms of, you know, in terms of the sweeteners that are non-sugars, I think stevia is great as long as it's not hugely processed. So I have a couple of brands I like more than others. And I'm now also a big fan of monk fruit, you know, because that's one of those two that, again, it's not a sweetener. And unfortunately, in a lot of the blends, it's advertised as monk fruit, but actually it's combined with also different sugar alcohols. And what I have found with, and you know it's a sugar alcohol when it ends with it, the T-O-L, toll, right, at the end, like, you know, maninini toll. And for people who have IBS, a lot of times will get really bloated from these sugar alcohols. So I just want to put a little bit of word of caution on this. But there are a couple of brands in the market now that sell monk fruit, pure without any blender. So, you know, I use that occasionally, especially if I feel like I'm overdoing it with sugar.
Some great suggestions. So as we're coming to the end of our conversation, Magdalene, it goes really fast, doesn't it? I want to be sure to give your website, because I think people should check you out. Go over to your website, which is Hormones. It's really Hormones and Balance, but the website is Hormones Balance, hormones, plural, balance.com. And Magdalena has some great information. You have recipes, you have quizzes, you've got lots of great stuff there. And I definitely encourage people to go check out your website, Hormones Balance. And I especially encourage people to pick up your book, which is called Cooking for Hormone Balance. I think it's a fantastic book, great information, loads of educational information and guidance and learning about hormones. And, of course, you have some beautiful recipes for every – you can have the most elegant dinner party and just have everything in your book, you know. It's just really well done. I mean, it's very appealing, and they just look so healthy and – nourishing. So food is medicine, and food is medicine, and real food is medicine. Real food also talks to our genes, and we've talked a little bit about the role of genes and gene expression, the science of epigenetics. Food is actually talking to your genes. It's not just about nutrition. It's having a communication with your genes and switching them on or off appropriately. So, you know, I think you're doing some great work out there in the world, Magdalena, educating people and helping all of us understand how we can bring our hormones back into balance, how we can recover our health and truly, truly live a healthy life. a healthy, hormonally balanced life. So thank you so much for all the great work you're doing. And again, congratulations on your book, Cooking for Hormone Balance, and your website, hormonesbalance.com, and all the success on the rest of your busy lecture tour.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. It was really lovely to be here.
Thank you again, Magdalena. So we've been talking to our guest today, Magdalena Scherlacki, and her book is Cooking for Hormone Balance, so go check it out. And until next time, I want to remind everyone to honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Also, go check out my upcoming retreats at rhythmia.com/Selman to get all the information and understanding about how you can bring greater balance and healing to your life. And until next time, look forward to that. And bye for now.